This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Again on the greatest day of the year, it's WrestleMania Day, Kalu Kalay. Wow, it's Mike Edison here on Arts and Seizures. Judy McGuire out in the field on assignment, but today I am surrounded by some of the great wrestling minds of our generation. I can't believe it. It's Keith Elliott Greenberg back again. You're like a regular on the show, Keith.
That's right. Maybe it's the 100th time I've been on here.
That's right. Veteran wrestling scribe Keith Elliott Greenberg, who has authored books with champions such as Ric Flair and Mick Foley. And,
no, not Mick Foley.
No, sorry. Freddie Blassie. Superstar Billy Graham.
And The Iron Sheik.
And The Iron Sheik, a book that hopefully will someday see the light of day.
Let's hope so.
A book that's been suppressed by the Prada-like instincts, the Stalinesque instincts of the WWE. And also joining us, of course, is another former WWE jobber who's put over many superstars, our good friend Brian Solomon. What's up, Brian?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me on. I'm not quite a veteran wrestling scribe, but in the making.
I can't believe it. So today we're going to handicap tonight's WrestleMania event. Also joining us is your son, Jack.
That's right.
Hey, Jack.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. And you're going to help us handicap tonight's big WrestleMania event. We're going to talk about The Undertaker and his streak. We're going to talk about the ultimate work, Daniel Bryan, and why that biscuit, as Judy McGuire would call CM Punk, is MIA this year. So I can't believe, guys, it's WrestleMania 30. I was at the first WrestleMania. I was there when history was made at Madison Square Garden.
I was not there. I wasn't even a fan yet, but Keith, I'm sure you were.
I was there. I was
another
in the front
Johnny
row.
Come lately, just as I suspected. Green.
Well, you know what? You can't really hold it against him if he was barely born at the time.
Yeah, WrestleMania 3 I did watch on closed circuit at the Regina Podgers Youth Center in Brooklyn, New York. So that was fun.
Keeping it real.
And I wasn't
that,
even
did
born
that,
yet.
Make you feel a greater affinity to the Catholicism of your youth?
Of course. You know, it was always kind of funny how they had wrestling and boxing in Catholic school gyms. You know, it's kind of a weird dichotomy there, but it made it interesting.
Those were the days, remember, Saturday morning championship wrestling, and the pitch was, appearing this week in Rollway.
And so, you remember who used to do those little voiceovers, right? That would be Howard Finkel usually doing those.
Howard Finkel, of course, and the greatest color man in the history of the sport, Vince McMahon himself, long before he could actually fit into that gold blazer.
And did you know that, you know, a little WrestleMania aside, did you know that Howard Finkel came up with the name WrestleMania?
I did not know that.
I think it was true. WrestleMania.
I did not know that.
See, you're going to learn a lot today on today's show, Jack. You're going to be a changed young man. You're not coming out of here the same. And it's sort of like that scene of Tommy with the Acid Queen. Okay, we're going to be like the Tina Turner to your Tommy. Just wait.
I should also mention that my daughter Layla is here as well. Layla, if you'd like to say hello. Ooh.
That's right, because Arts and Seizures is a family affair. So what's going to happen tonight? The big question is, The Undertaker, the dead man, is going to retain his streak, 21-0, the most storied streak in sports history. Fuck Lou Gehrig, fuck Cal Ripken. The Undertaker is the one that counts. Is he going out victorious, or is he going out on his back, as is the tradition?
I don't know. I think if somebody's going to do it, I can't really see why they would give that honor to Brock Lesnar, but, you know, anything's possible.
Well, I'd have to concur with Mr. Solomon over here. I would think that if if somebody was going to do, it would be somebody who they would want to build for the future.
Yeah, what do you really get out of Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker? The guy's probably going on vacation the next day. If somebody's going to break the streak, I'm thinking it needs to be for a very good reason other than just a buy rate.
Yeah, I really thought last year at a buy rate. This is real insane.
See, a buy rate, we're using antiquated language.
I know.
This pay-per-view is actually...
Once again, the WWE at the forefront of telecommunications technology with their own streaming network.
Yeah, the whole thing, what do we even call them anymore? That's what's freaking me out. It's not even a pay-per-view. Yeah. What is it? I don't know what it is.
It's still WrestleMania to me.
It's a supercard, I guess.
Still real to me.
Damn it.
Well, I agree. I think last year was the year they should have put CM Punk over. And, you know, for those of you out in Radio Land who don't really have an idea what the fuck we're talking about.
Who cares?
I mean, there is some backroom politics about who wins these things, believe it or not. Not everything in wrestling is real. Some of it's actually scripted and predetermined.
Please, don't break Jack's heart.
A policy I believe the NFL should adopt as well, because then we'd have no more blowout Super Bowls.
Well, they tried that with the XFL.
That's why wrestling is the king of sports.
I have my own theory about the XFL, for those of you who remember Vince McMahon's short-faded alternative to the NFL. It's sort of like the movie The Producers, right, Mel Brooks? Someone made money on that. Okay, it was designed
to... Probably Vince.
It was designed to fail in such a way that Vince and Dick Ebersol would walk away with millions of dollars while the whole world thought it was a failure.
Yeah,
it was a double bind. It was a sting some way. They could not have designed it worse if they had wanted to.
That combined with the restaurant collapsing at roughly the same time cost many, many poor corporate employees their job. I was in the office on that dark day. Keith, you got spared from that. They told everybody over the loudspeaker, remain at your desks, and they were literally sending facilities people around with boxes, evicting people from the building. About 40 people in one day.
Professional wrestling is a very unforgiving
business. That was not a wrestling angle.
No, it was not. Not to me, it wasn't. That was real to me, damn it.
Yeah, no kayfabe.
No. I mean, you know, that's where it all came from. All the money they lost on that was gained back by letting go of a lot of people, unfortunately.
But Brian, you have great stories about working for the WWE magazine. And you know, over the years we've been talking, you've really put into perspective a lot of what it really means to work, you know, inside the castle walls. I mean, maybe you want to tell us one of those stories. I love the story when Vince McMahon, as he said, he put you over, Ric Flair put you over walking down the hall, to people who don't even know what that means.
I mean, Ric Flair did call me a fucking idiot during an interview once.
Didn't he? And Vince McMahon once told me to take my head out of Dave Meltzer's ass, which I consider to be a badge of honor. Keith, I think that didn't Rick also call you a hippie from Greenwich Village?
A hippie from Greenwich Village, and I'm from Queens, so that's quite an insult.
Yes, but for
a drunk guy from North Carolina, it's all the same.
But Ric Flair, you know, a lot of these guys, and Howard Finkel would do it too. They knew that they had the power to put you over, as we like to say, make you look good in front of other people. Mm-hmm. And Ric Flair did something so simple for me, and just you wouldn't even think it was anything. And it was a highlight of my career when I was showing some of the new writers around backstage, and we're walking around back there, and these guys, they're in awe of Ric Flair, and he's walking at us, and I'm walking by him, and he just quickly looked at me and looked down, and he just said, "Bry," and I said, "Nate." And we just kept walking like we'd known each other for 20 years. And these guys looked at me, and they thought in that moment, erroneously, that I was a big shot. And it was thanks to Ric Flair.
And Ric Flair has given many people the rub over the years. Not just people in the ring, because as he boasted, he could have a 5-star match with a broom, but civilians like us.
Well, that's true. And for everybody listening who may or may not be interested in professional wrestling, pay attention. Because wrestling is a metaphor for life. There is none better, really. And Ric Flair is a guy who is so, you know, generous professionally. Like you said, he could wrestle a toothbrush and make the toothbrush look good. But that's what the business is all about. It's about selling your opponent. It's about putting someone over, like Brian was talking. It's making people believe that it's real. Ric Flair was a guy who could wrestle 365 days a year. And every time you saw him, you'd think that history was being made.
And a lot of guys he did wrestle with were the equivalent of brooms or coat racks. So it's true that he could. And I always thought, to make a movie reference, I always thought he was the wrestling equivalent of Fred Astaire. And if you've ever seen the movie where I thought it was an inside joke, Fred Astaire actually does a dance routine with a coat rack. And I always thought that was the origin of the expression, because he made the coat rack look good.
Maybe Fred Astaire was a mark for Ric Flair.
My dad has told me a lot of stories about Ric Flair.
Yeah, but he hasn't told you all the stories.
As I like to say, Working in the wrestling business gave me lots of stories that I could tell my kids, and lots of stories that I can't tell my kids. So yeah.
That's right. Just because he told you everything that you know doesn't mean he told you everything that he knows. But what's your favorite Ric Flair story that your dad told you?
I don't really have one.
Well, Flair, when I used to be in the business, when I used to work for Main Event, he was very, very nice to us, and you could just tell he really was just the model of professionalism. When the cameras went on, no matter what he was doing, he just turned into like this glowing, radiant professional wrestling machine. He had the gift of gab. He cut those promos that are now legendary. Hey, I just been informed that our eyes and ears on the ground in Chicago, our good friend Natalie Slater of Bacon Destroy and BaconDestroy.com is about to join us online. We're going to talk about what's happening in the wrestling world in Chicago, Natalie, about your book, Bacon Destroy, and about WrestleMania parties. Hi, Natalie.
Hey, how are you guys?
Awesome. Good to hear from you. So what's going on in Chicago? Have you seen Bigfoot lately? And when I say Bigfoot, I mean CM Punk.
Did we lose her? Maybe somebody from the company is listening and they've jammed the
That's it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think CM Punk is sabotaging our show. Well, he doesn't want any dirty laundry aired.
For those listening to our friend CM Punk, who is a Chicago local legend as well as world wrestling champion, has MIA and walked off the set and really shaking up a lot of people.
And that is not a work, by the way.
Not a work as far as you know.
That's true. I don't know. No,
but
we really
do miss him on this year's WrestleMania.
I think he kind of ruined it a little because I was excited to see him in it.
Yeah, I think we all are. I know at least one person who's boycotting tonight's WrestleMania because he's not there. Did we get Natalie back, Evan? Okay, we're calling Natalie back. But that's right, Punk's not going to be there, and certainly he's a great fan favorite, one of the most outspoken and smartest guys.
In the business. I mean, he's up there with Mick Foley, who's also one of the smartest guys I've ever met. And Nick Bockwinkel was a highly intelligent guy. I was also told by Bill Apter that Mr. Wrestling Woods, who I never had a chance of meeting, I saw him wrestle live in Florida, was also one of the brightest guys in the
business.
Well,
he was Mr. Wrestling.
Yes, he was.
Do we have Natalie back? Natalie, you're there?
Hey.
There you go. Natalie?
Yep. You guys hear me?
Now we can hear you. So what's going on in Chicago? Any sightings of CM Punk at the donut shop or the gym?
Yeah. Well, I've been posting some Bigfoot sightings, which is what we're calling anytime somebody sees Punk anywhere, which currently would be at a Chicago Blackhawks game.
It reminds me of that angle with The Undertaker. Do you remember when The Undertaker was off TV? It had to be about 20 years ago, and they had this whole thing of Undertaker sightings. Do you remember
right,
that?
At a preschool, right. And a delicatessen. Wasn't that the deli across the street from WWE?
Yes, and I think Bob Collins, who was a longtime WWE SVP, was used in that segment. But that's when they brought back the fake Undertaker.
So, Natalie, I know you're boycotting WrestleMania tonight because of the absence of our friend CM Punk, but if you were... and notice the clever use of the subjunctive, to have a WrestleMania party tonight, what were some of the snacks that you might make from your entirely awesome book, Bacon Destroy, or not from your book?
Well, thanks for the plug. One of my favorite dishes that I put in my roundup WrestleMania snack, what I'm calling heel turn tofu, which is a really easy to make four ingredient tofu dish. You actually make a crust out of only flavor of potatoes that are vegan. And they're great because it really just skins off to something like covered tofu in something as unhealthy as Doritos. So it's a great heel move for your WrestleMania party.
The heel turn tofu. I'm very interested in the El Kabong whoopie pies. I've had your whoopie pies, and they are definitely worth celebrating.
I have a lot of photos of us eating whoopie pies together, Mike.
Well, we're going to have some, Jack, you're having a WrestleMania party tonight too, right?
Yes.
What kind of snacks are you going to have at the party tonight?
Oh, we're going to have some chips, right? Some popcorn, the usual.
Soda.
Well, listen to Natalie Bacon Destroy. Keep it healthy.
And since Solomon's here, some pizza bagels.
Yes, best of both worlds, Italian and Jewish, right? If I can't get it wholesale, I steal it.
So what else is on the menu tonight, Natalie, for those who want to keep it healthy, unlike the jobbers we've got here in the studio today?
Well, I have another, there's a bread salad dish that I made that was inspired by Hillbilly Jim. the inspiration being, what if Hillbilly Jim came over for dinner? What would I make to impress him? And I started thinking about how much I love panzanella and how Hillbilly Jim's probably never heard of such a thing. So how could I make Southern-inspired panzanella? So I came up with what's the panzanella, which is all kinds of Southern flavors like barbecue and black-eyed peas and greens all mixed up together into a pretty tasty little salad.
That sounds good. I want to be healthy, guys. Okay, I'm at that age right now where it might be a heel turn on my part to start eating vegan, but I'm pretty much convinced. Natalie, before we go, we should talk about Sugar Slam for a second. Are you going to do another Sugar Slam this year and tell us what it is?
Yeah, I think I had a lot of trouble with last year's. I was just super busy and a lot of stuff, but I have more time, and I think this year's going to be the fifth Sugar Slam, so I want it to be the biggest at the best.
And Sugar Slam, for those who don't know, is the wrestling-inspired bake-off. Did I describe that correctly? And the entries are just like, it's the incredible imagination of wrestling fans and their culinary skills really, really does boggle the mind.
It's the most delicious competition in sports entertainment.
So that's Sugar Slam. Natalie, where can we find you and your awesome book, Bake and Destroy?
You can get it on Amazon. You can find it in bookstores as well, and you can find it on BaconDestroy.com.
BaconDestroy.com, and we'll follow you on Facebook and Twitter. And no predictions for tonight? You think The Undertaker's going to keep the streak going?
I think she left. Maybe she knows something.
I think The Undertaker
Natalie
got
has
to
left
it.
The building.
Wait, I'm sorry. Wait. It just cut out. What did you say?
You think The Undertaker's going to keep the streak going tonight?
Oh, Taker? I don't see that breaking anytime soon.
I'm really unsure about that.
It is a mystery of the ages, young man. Well, I'll tell you what, if Punk couldn't break it last year, I've got no faith in Brock Lesnar. All right, Natalie, Bake and Destroy, thanks. Tell you what, guys, we're going to take a quick break right now. I'm going way back to the greatest rock and wrestling video ever made by me. Okay, something so great it took two continents and 7 years to complete. This is I Like to Hurt People. We're on Arts and Seizures. We'll see you guys right back in a couple minutes here on the Heritage Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to take the challenge? The challenge. These guys are going to kick your ass. Come on down, baby. Bring it. Are you really ready to take the challenge? I give you the locomotive of hurt, the Pan Band of Kings of New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, the Edison Rocket Train. Let the pain begin. Face, making love to the mat. And if you go lie, I'm gonna block your eyes. I like to hurt, and I don't know why. I like to hurt people. I like to hurt people. Break your arms, I mean no harm, but I like to hurt. It's one of my charms. Smash your face till your face is dashed by the slam, cause I'm a man. I like to hurt people. I like to hurt people. Send them home to mama.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
All right, we're back. We're back here. Arts and Seizures is Mike Edison here with Keith Elliott Greenberg, veteran wrestling scribe.
That's how Solomon really is.
Yes.
You are the Herman Melville of wrestling.
Yes.
And Brian Solomon, who is here with his family. And Jack, you've got some more predictions for tonight, I understand.
Yes.
So what do we think? Daniel Bryan, the man of the people, the leader of the Yes Movement. What's going to happen tonight?
I think he's going to beat Triple H. But then I think Randy Orton is going to win against him, Batista.
Very complex.
My son is a hopeless Randy Orton mark. I should mention that. He'd root for Randy Orton in any match, so he's a little biased.
Including one against his father.
Wow. And look, the pizza's here.
Yay.
Not entirely vegan, though. That's not even...
Pizza.
This one's like the meat lover's pie here at Roberta's.
Tell Natalie. Natalie, don't listen to this.
it's officially a WrestleMania party now. I think the card tonight is kind of soft. To be honest with you, I mean, of all the WrestleManias, I am least enthusiastic in 30 years, maybe this more than ever.
I'd have to disagree. I'm actually excited to see John Cena shifting from the main event to a match with an up-and-comer like Bray Wyatt, who
yes.
I knew as a little kid, Mike Rotunda's son, Barry Windham's nephew, Blackjack Mulligan's grandson, who I think is a very exciting performer. And somehow I feel that John Cena is there to enhance him, and I think he will.
I don't think it's going to be a good WrestleMania. One, because CM Punk is in there, and two, because Batista and Brock Lesnar are just showed up, and now they have big parts. And especially, I don't think Brock Lesnar is an exciting person to be facing The Undertaker.
From the mouths of babes.
Well, how do you argue with that? I'm not. I mean, Lesnar's you know certainly an impressive individual in so many ways. He's a legitimate MMA champion, and he's a monster. I mean, I would.
And I'll tell you.
I wouldn't want to get in the ring with that.
And I'll tell you a good story that Brock Lesnar told me when both of our kids were little. We were talking about car seats, and he said that his daughter was being so resistant to sitting in the car seat that he took some duct tape and duct taped her in.
You know, I understand that's what you're supposed to do when astronauts go crazy on the space shuttle, right? That's what you do. You duct tape them in and land them in. I bring this up because just yesterday we were talking about that batshit crazy astronaut who like put on the diapers and drove across the country to hit her lover with a ball peen hammer. And the question came up, what do you do with a crazy astronaut?
Well, we just talked about astronauts on the subway here.
And the NASA guidelines say if someone goes crazy on the space shuttle, you duct tape them to the chair.
I do want to chime in and say that I do kind of think that this is a bit of a weak undercard. It's a little, I know a lot of people have been saying that, but I think the top matches are so strong right now that it doesn't even really matter. Honestly, if you look at WrestleMania 3, for example, one that they point to all the time as this great card, most of the undercard of that was, you know, just a typical house show card, honestly.
WrestleMania 3, was that Detroit? Was that the Pontiac?
Yeah, that was Hogan and Andre in the main event. Right. It didn't even matter what else you had.
Well, there was
card.
That where...
Slam heard around the world.
That's where Brutus became Brutus the Barber.
Yes, yes.
He came. Now, this was after the... it was Piper and Adrian Adonis.
Yes, that was that. And Steamboat and Savage. That was the Steamboat and Savage one.
So those are three very memorable
right.
matches.
Yes.
I actually think this year it's a pretty good card. I disagree.
Okay. What's the match you're looking most forward to?
Probably the Battle Royal.
The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yes. Who are our picks for that, Jack? I think you... Who do you like in that?
Sheamus. I think...
You like Sheamus?
He might win.
Do you like Sheamus?
Well, Layla... My sister Layla likes Sheamus more than me.
Oh!
I kind of like, I think, Dolph Ziggler or maybe Big E to go over in that Battle Royal.
You know, there's something very likable about a Battle Royale because it's such a chaotic mess. It's sort of like the free jazz of wrestling. I mean, really, it's sort of like got this, like, this Jackson Pollock kind of quality to the whole thing. There's so much going on until, of course, it comes down to the last few guys. I kind of like that. There's a lot of room for improvisation and comedy.
It's kind of hard to watch because you have to watch, like, 30 guys at a time.
Well, now, what do you prefer, a Royal Rumble or a Battle Royal? I'm throwing that out to both Mike and to Brian here.
Go ahead.
You, Jack.
I like a Royal Rumble better.
I kind of like, I think the Royal Rumble has almost made the Battle Royal obsolete at this point because it's so much more exciting. The only drawback is it's also so long. so you can't really do it very often. Battle Royal, you can kind of get through in about 15 to 20 minutes.
Speaking of long, how long is WrestleMania? 4 hours, right? Is it 4 hours? Starts at 7, is that right tonight?
Well, it starts at 7, but is that officially when it begins?
No, there's a starts at 6:30 on the cable box.
Oh,
really?
there's a 2 hour pre-show. If you have the WWE Network, you could start watching at 5 o'clock.
You could start watching at 5 o'clock last October.
Have you
been
watching any of this stuff live, like yesterday on the WWE Network?
Yeah, I've been kind of checking in. It's been, you know, wrestling all week now because I have the WWE Network, so seeing what they're doing and all the appearances and stuff. But I remember one year. Do you remember the year they did WrestleMania All Day? That's what it was called?
Yes.
Where they literally had a pre-show on the pay-per-view channel that started in the morning, and it went until the night. And I remember
it even went after WrestleMania.
Yes, and they never did it again because I think the TV production people were just pushed so far to the limit.
I can't even deal with the Monday Night Show. It's 3 fucking hours long. It's interminable. I mean, who's watching this for three hours?
It's a lot to invest.
It's what DVR was invented for, I think.
I really do miss 1 hour Saturday morning shows, the scrub matches. Not everything has to be a main event. Really,
and there's something to be said for scrub matches because, especially, let's go back to the WWE Network. They have world-class wrestling on there, an entire show. And you'll watch some of those scrub matches, and they're compelling in a way that I don't know if anything today is.
Well, my biggest problem, I never thought I'd miss scrub matches. My biggest problem is now when you're building guys up, it has to be at the expense of other contracted talent. So you've got to put other people down the ladder to get other guys up. That used to be the jobber's job. Now it's the job of people like Kofi Kingston. And
again,
Santino
wrestling
Morella.
Is the best metaphor for real life. but I do miss because the jobbers, I mean, these guys who, you know, these scrubs who get beaten up in squash matches, as we call them also. There's something lovable about the Frankie Williams of our world. These guys who are obviously like shop teachers during the rest of the week, come on TV once a week to get beaten up, but to make somebody else look good. And there's an existential...
Well, they call it enhancement talent. That's what WWE would call that.
A fluffer, in other words.
A fluffer, yes. aren't we all fluffers in
one way or another? And again, I refer you to the existential quality of wrestling. As I always say, wrestling is for people who can't handle... reality is for people who can't handle professional wrestling.
Yes, and I think you've brought this up before, but we used to use this line in the office all the time. To those who don't understand, no explanation will do. To those who do understand, no explanation is necessary.
Right. Basically, it's what Dostoevsky said about faith.
Yes.
Unless it was St. Thomas Aquinas. I could never get that
I think
straight.
He was talking about wrestling. That's just me.
I believe so, too. No, you can't convince somebody who's not... we can't proselytize
about it. Was Dostoevsky a Farmer Burns fan?
I think he might have been the grandfather of Ivan Koloff. I'm not sure.
Well, speaking of Ivan Koloff, the Undertaker, the last great gimmick, a dead man... a reanimated corpse, a zombie, and yet there are still those who will say, but Mike, you know, it's not real. He's a zombie, but Mike, it's fake. Yeah, he's a reanimated corpse. Yeah, but Mike, I mean, you know, the people who don't get it just seem so willfully, blissfully unwilling to make this late leap, and yet, you know, I mean, they'll go watch some Jedi Knights blow up the Death Star, and I really don't see that much of a difference.
Yeah, you know, I sit them down and I say, you know that show you watch, The Walking Dead? I have something it's going to blow your mind away. Those zombies on that show, they're really people wearing makeup. Don't tell anybody.
But there are not as many good gimmicks as there used to be. And speaking of, like I said, Dostoevsky, the bad guy Russians went the way of Reagan. That was a Cold War trope. Unapologetic Nazis. But I used to see a lot more kitsch and camp.
When they get some Russians back now.
This is true.
Oh, no, now he's a Bulgarian.
Oh, no.
I see that.
You're going to see a Ukrainian baby face.
Yeah, we don't have a Ukrainian babyface, but he might be a neo-Nazi if he's a Ukrainian babyface.
Cry me a river. That'll be his name.
I wonder if the WWE universe is ready for like a French socialist heel.
Are you trying to say that you don't think Fandango is a great gimmick? Or
the ballroom dancer?
Yes. I love him. That's a shoot. I love him.
It's a shoot because he really is a ballroom dancer. I don't know. I miss the Jewish accountant. I miss the dentist. You know, I miss things that are really silly. You know,
yeah, but
a dentist wrestler, Isaac Yankum, that was brilliant.
And who became Kane.
But don't you think they got a little overboard with those at the time,
yeah,
where every wrestler had to have a backup job, literally, as part of their character?
That was vocational fortitude.
There weren't any guys anymore who were just wrestlers, you know?
I think you need a combination. I mean, Dolph Ziggler's here, but the peroxide heel is kind of like an old fashioned trope. I'd like to see that come back a little bit. I just want to see some fun. It doesn't seem so silly as it once was.
Well, here's something that's very interesting. Last year when WrestleMania was at the Meadowlands in Jersey, there were a lot of British fans there. And they were fanatics for Fandango and for Dolph Ziggler. The next night, they basically hijacked Raw. And they just started cheering for both of those guys.
And then everybody thought Fandango was going to become the next big thing because of that, and it just didn't quite happen.
Because a ballroom dancer is never going to be the World Wrestling Federation, WWE, champion.
Although Mick Foley would argue that they'd say... people said a guy like Cactus Jack will never be a champion, and indeed he became a champion.
Yeah, well, I just don't see the WWE Universe embracing a ballroom dancer for any long period of time.
Well, that is, in fact, what happened, unfortunately. They didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't.
Well, as always, it is the fastest half hour on the internet today. Before we go, though, Brian, I want to plug your new book that's coming out sometime in the near future.
Yes, we're shooting for publication of next year, but it's still up in the air. But I want to say it's called The Pro Wrestling FAQ. And if you're interested, get on Facebook, and you can go to facebook.com/ProWrestlingFAQ, and I'll be giving all the updates on the progress of that book.
Now, what is the most frequently asked question about wrestling?
I think why did I work there might be the most frequently asked. No, but I'll be answering as many of those as I could possibly get to in one book.
All right, well, thank you guys for coming out. Keith, you got anything happening that we should know about? Should we reach out for you and find you on the Twitter? You're going to be live tweeting WrestleMania tonight?
No, I'll be with you at Dick Manitoba.
All right, on WrestleMania Day. Good gumptive. And thanks, Jack, for your great opinions. We're looking forward to see Daniel Bryan win and Layla. I think Brock Lesnar is going down tonight.
I have actually helped him with his book. Trying to find some pictures with him.
Well, fight for a byline and some points on the back end. That's my advice, kid. All right, once again, it's Arts and Seizures. Mike Edison for Judy McGuire, who is out in the field on assignment. Keith Greenberg, Brian Solomon, family, Evan in the booth. We will see you guys next week going out with the truly greatest wrestling song of all time. See you guys next week.
Ray, do the hammer.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.